Biggie's Restaurant has been a staple of the community for over 30 years and is serving your favorites for carryout and dine-in. Keeping you safe is just as important as serving the best food in St. Louis. So Biggie's will open with limited seating, including outdoor tables, no more than 8 to a table, and all 6 feet apart. Biggie's will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, as well as Sundays, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Biggie's will be serving their full menu with all of your favorite daily specials.
This year has caused us to start asking the tough questions when it comes to our financial futures. And Joe Rusevans of FRA Trust is one of the most credentialed people in his field. His team is the best at income planning, estate planning, and managing taxes. They have the experience dealing with people from all walks of life. Don't be one of the 62% of people that don't have their affairs in order. Get these secrets before it's too late. Claim Joe Rusevans' dynamic new best-selling book, Take a Step, at TaxFreeStep.com.
It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered, offering the latest in copiers, managed print, and customized IT solutions for every business need. At GFI Digital, we make technology simple.
Mom, what do you always say?
There's nothing sadder than jewelry that sits in a drawer.
That's why we are proud to offer jewelry repair on-site at Newsetter's Fine Jewelry. We know that your jewelry is important to you, and we take that part of our job very seriously. Visit us at Doherty Ferry in Big Bend or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
Are you searching for someone that can help you market your business online? You need to call St. Louis Digital Media. Locally owned and operated, they are your one-stop shop for web design, search engine optimization, Google Ads, social media marketing, and more. We here at 590 have used their services for years and couldn't be happier. Get started today by calling St. Louis Digital Media at 314-200-5592 for a free consultation or visit them online at stldigitalmedia.com.
Come enjoy the crisp fall air at Nilo, the Winchester 640-acre hunting and shooting oasis just 45 minutes from St. Louis. For nearly 70 years, Nilo has been one of the most premier outdoor destinations in the country for upland hunting and sporting clays. Now is the time to book a hunt for you and your guests and come shoot on select Wednesdays and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. With other times available for reservation, just call 618-466-0613 or visit them at NILOFarms.com.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered, offering the latest in copiers, managed print, and customized IT solutions for every business need. At GFI Digital, we make technology simple.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are proud to announce their 2020 Train Special, the same system they're installing in my home. This state-of-the-art system includes a 16 SEER rated air conditioner and a variable speed furnace to remove humidity, balance out temperature differences, and make your home more comfortable. Available with financing terms you can't beat. For more information, contact the official HVAC company of the morning after, Design Air Heating and Cooling, at designair.net. 590 The Fan and TMA are happy to announce registration for our Lemmings Open Golf Tournament on Friday, October 23rd, presented by Michelob Ultra, GFI Digital, Dents Express, and STL Digital Media. Course and tickets will be $600, covering golf and cart for four players, lunch and booze. The tournament will get started with a 10:30 shotgun start. Get your tickets now. This is a first-come, first-served event. Go to eventbrite.com and search Lemmings Open to sign up today, or click the link to register on the 590thefan.com homepage.
Yeah, don't call me Frank anymore. You call me Al.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle of the rest of my life?
The reason I wanted to play this is because 1 year from today, this guy will be 80 years old. Paul Simon is 79 today.
Wow.
79. Well, let me tell everybody who is young, let me let you in on something. A weird thing happens when you get old. And here's the weird thing. You start to actually doubt one, that you can be this old. And then you cannot believe that somebody like Paul Simon, who you grew up listening to, and he's just kind of, you know, one of you, a little older, not much. And you go, well, there's no way that guy's almost 80 years old, 79 today. It actually seems like somebody made a mistake. And anybody over 60 will know what I'm talking about. You just are in denial, and you think, well, there has to be a mistake. Paul Simon's not 79. Yeah, he is. And you're old, and I'm old, and that's the way it is.
There's another one that made me feel real old today.
Oh, get used to it.
I don't know if Buff is old enough for this, but I know Dan is, and I'm sure you'll remember this, Frank. 35 years ago today, the tarp rolled over Vince Coleman's ankle.
Oh, my goodness.
I do remember that.
Oh, 35
years ago.
Wow.
I was three.
Wow.
You know what?
Vince Coleman has 100 stolen bases, and this tarp comes up out of the ground, and then it slowly rolls. And he's just standing there, and it rolls over his ankle and knocks him out of the playoffs.
But just imagine, remember when like Bob Gibson got that line drive off his leg?
And broke his leg and stayed in
the season. And he stayed in the pitch. I don't know how you do it.
And see, for a guy who knows nothing about sports, I actually can give you the name of the guy who flipped people off, Gary Templeton. Yeah. I don't know why I remember that, but I just remember that.
Yeah.
Whitey Herzog reached up and grabbed him and just pulled him in the dugout.
That flip got us into three World Series because of Ozzie Smith.
Yep. Yeah, don't forget that Steve Kline once reportedly flicked off Tony La Russa in the dugout.
Oh, that's right.
From at Busch Stadium, the old Busch Stadium.
No,
he really did it
from the bullpen.
From the bullpen, yeah.
Because
the bullpen.
He was warming up, and La Russa went out to the mound, and then he didn't bring Kline in, and Kline got mad that he made him warm up, and he flicked him off.
And Kline was such a free spoken reliever.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I said this on the air, but I mentioned Tim the other day off the air. Tommy Lasorda, who, if you go digging, you can find multiple audio clips of him cursing and losing it.
A lot.
There was a great interview with Tommy Lasorda, and he said, they started talking about getting thrown out of the game. And Lasorda said, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. And I absolutely believe this is true, and it happens all the time. He said, when the game is slow and nothing's happening, a lot of times when you see us run out to the mound and we get into it with an umpire, here's what we're saying. Where are you going to dinner tonight? I'm going to go to, I think I might go to Tony's or maybe Gito's. What do you think? I don't know yet. I haven't made up my mind, but I'm in the mood for pasta. And he said, all we're doing is just talking That's about nonsense. Great. But if you do it and yell it and
Fires
look like you're
the
audience, yeah, the game's not dull anymore.
Like your team says, he's over there fighting for us. No, he's making dinner plans.
Yeah. And they'll even get go so far as if it's really slow to the umpire, go ahead, throw me out. It'll make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. Do the thing with your hand where you get beyond the game.
Guess what? If you toss me, I get lasagna. If I get tossed, I get fettuccine.
Yeah.
Come on.
And I thought, wow,
it's true, though. I believe it.
It absolutely is true.
I think there's sometimes, with a manager, he just loses it. And they just go at it. But I think it's kind of orchestrated a few times, though.
It's for sure.
Just to fire it up.
It's part of show business.
Remember Earl Weaver? He used to go out and kick dirt on on the home plate.
Oh, Lou Piniella was the all-time king. He'd throw his hat down, pick bases up, and throw them.
Yeah.
Kick dirt on the earth.
He'd be rubbing his hat in the dirt like a second baseman.
Okay. I have half this name. I need the first name. The guy who kept getting fired and rehired by George Steinbrenner.
Billy Martin.
Yeah, I had the Martin, I couldn't remember Billy. Now, that in itself was just entertainment.
Didn't John Turturro play him in an HBO movie? I thought he played a Yankees manager way back
whenever. I have.
Asking
didn't
the
Billy
guy.
Martin coach with the Tigers also?
I have no idea.
I don't believe he's
the
manager.
I think he coached somewhere.
I don't know.
But probably one of the best Bob Gibson stories.
Hey, look who's here, Dan Buffa.
Right. Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good to get here.
That's how you morph into the studio from your car with no break. You just sit in the chair and you start talking.
That's right. That's how we do it.
But the late Bob Gibson's crazy. We've lost Lou Brock and Bob Gibson. And within 6 weeks, two months, it's terrible. But one of the best stories, and Tim McCarver, who is Bob's catcher for how many years? What, a decade? I mean, a long time. I think it's him, and then it's Yadi and Waino as far as pitcher and catcher batteries. But he said one of the best stories, Bob Gibson would walk somebody, and here comes Tim McCarver to the mound, and he goes, and there's a guy in first base, and Bob would go, yeah, I put him there. Now get back behind home plate. He was just so blunt. And then you get Dan McLaughlin, Gibson and McCarver in the same booth, and those two would just—they'd start to bicker. I'm going to miss that. I think opening day, whatever it's going to look like in 2021, is going to look a lot different.
I hope everything looks different. Well, in 2021.
Without Lou and Bob.
Well, let me do a little bit of business, and that would be the business of Ballast Dental Care. I rewatched today the video where I introduce you folks to my dentist, and I watched the Ballast Dental Care, Bertarelli, and Londoff, and First Community. If you haven't seen those, you can go to facebook.com/AM and the PM, or you can go to frankopinion.com and just watch these little short videos taken at each of the advertisers that I speak for. And it was funny to watch because when I did it, it's so obvious that Dr. Watanabe has no idea what I'm talking about. He didn't know that I shot the scene with the fake patient, Billy teeth. Bob Haggerty.
With the teeth.
And I said, take good care of Billy Bob. And he just looks at me like, who? And he goes, I will. And he has no idea what I'm talking about. So if you haven't watched him, do that. But more importantly, if you, I almost said if you don't have a dental appointment somewhere else, I'm going to go farther. I'm going to say even if you do, cancel it. Just cancel it. And change it to Ballast Dental Care. You're really going to be glad you did this. Ballast Dental Care is where I've gone to the dentist for 47 and a half years. See right there. When I say that, it doesn't even sound right coming out of my head. 47 and a half years to go to the dentist? I shouldn't even be 47 and a half years old. In my head, I'm 18. 18 years old. But it is true. 47 and a half years a patient. Why don't you start your streak now with your first visit? And my guess is if there's a Ballast Dental Care in 47 and a half years and you're young enough to still be around 47 and a half years, you're going to be able to say the same thing because you're not going to want to go to the dentist anywhere else. Now, I've not been to every dentist in the country, obviously. I'm sure there's some wonderful dental clinics, but I cannot imagine any being better and few being as good as Ballast Dental Care. Because I don't know what else a dental clinic can do to make you comfortable beyond what they do at Ballast Dental Care. I can't even imagine what that would be. You know, what is it you want when you go to the dentist? Well, first of all, you don't even want to go to the dentist. But once you get there, we finally get you in there. What are you looking for? You're looking for somebody who understands, first of all, that you're probably freaked out and nervous and has the ability to put that away. And they do. For somebody who seems like a real person and not just a robotic dentist, these are real people. And they're engaging, and they're compassionate, and they're interesting, and oftentimes funny. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, they give you what some people call laughing gas. That's nitrous when you go to the dentist because they're trying to find a way to put people at ease, make them loose and comfortable, and sometimes that does the trick. I actually don't believe they need it there for very many patients. But for those who do, they have it. Now, here's the other thing. Shots. I think one of the things people dread or are scared of at the dentist is the shot. I've had shots when I was younger that hurt, and they really hurt. In 47 and a half years, I've never had a shot that hurt, and I've had as many as 10 or 12 at the same time when I had, you know, some extensive work done years ago. I didn't feel any of them. They just have a way. They have a way of doing everything right. Make one appointment. Put me to the test. Prove me wrong. One appointment at Ballast Dental Care, and then join me and the thousands of other people who can't imagine going anywhere else. The corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
My wife came home from the store yesterday, and I noticed in the pantry she had bought some Milk Duds that she tried to hide from me, but I found them.
Milk Duds.
And as soon as I saw them, yeah. For herself.
How selfish.
It is selfish.
Just
thank
for
you.
Herself, no extra box?
No,
just one box.
I never for her.
Liked Milk Duds that
wow. much. But as soon as I saw it, you know what I thought of? Movie theater.
Yeah.
Because that's my go-to popcorn accompaniment food is Milk Duds. If they don't have those rollers.
Yeah. And you buy them and you have to shake them up a little bit so all the Milk Duds that break apart.
Yes, because they stick together.
Or else you get like 90 in your mouth.
One clump of 90.
This is good. This movie's so good I'm going to pass out.
Yeah. Rolo's a second choice because they're kind of close to the same
for
thing.
Me, I like licorice. It's just, it's predictable and it's pretty
let's
good.
Let's talk about licorice. When you say licorice, I'll bet you mean like the cherry or the strawberry. That's not licorice. Yeah. Licorice is black and it tastes like crap if it's
I
real
licorice.
I love
black licorice and it tastes like heaven. It's delicious.
It tastes like gummed up motor oil. Licorice tastes terrible. If it's true licorice that I'm thinking about, that black licorice with that black licorice taste.
I will say that pull and peel stuff, that's addictive.
Yeah, but see, cherry, strawberry...
The watermelon, pollen, pale.
You're starting to sound like walking on Saturday Night Live.
Licorice is black.
It is black, and it's delicious.
It is. But the strawberry variations are still pretty good, though.
Well, it made me think of the movie theater, and as long as we're talking about movie theaters, I want to introduce officially the guy who's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. You can find out more at windowworldst.louis.com. Now you can officially please welcome Dan Buffa.
Good evening.
Well, it's not evening yet.
Late afternoon.
An hour and a half. Evening officially hits at 6, I think.
All right.
Got an hour and a half.
Good afternoon.
So before you... Oh, phone numbers, folks. If you have anything to contribute or ask about that's on TV, you might as well not even say movie theaters because nobody's going. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Last night, talked about this earlier, you haven't seen it, you said, Showtime, which I was surprised because it almost seems like everything we talk about now is Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu. This is Showtime.
Yeah.
They've aired two of them. If you have Showtime on your service, you can get Showtime. I think it's called Showtime Anytime or Showtime Anywhere. It's an app, and I watch it on my iPad, and it's The Comedy Store, and it is a docu-series on the famous comedy club in L.A. called The Comedy Store, Mitzi Shore's place, and I watched two, and I really enjoyed it, but I'm fascinated by stand-up comedians. And realize that that's maybe one of the hardest, not physically hard, like labor, like moving furniture, but just stressful things to try to break into. And certainly to make it in that business is extremely difficult, and you probably won't. And you'll spend years and years and years, and some people decades, not making it. And that's the best way I can put it, trying and trying and trying and never really making it. So The Comedy Store, I would highly recommend it. I'd love to know what you think when you see it.
Well, it's, I mean, right away, the title's great.
You'll like it.
Think about
like
comedy. Because I've always loved what they try to do when they're not on the stage. I mean, they need the laughs. They need the audience feedback. And when they don't get that, that's when that depression settles in. That's when the doubt settles in. I've always found that fascinating.
What else is fascinating is that these people have to have supplemental jobs because they're not making any money. And all you think about while you're at work is getting a slot tonight at the Comedy Store. That's all you think about. You're consumed with it.
And you might get 5 minutes, so what two or three jokes are you going to tell?
Yeah.
Or let's put this like, what one or two are you going to tell? Or what one? Which one? Let's say you've already burned through 3.5 minutes. You got 90 seconds left. What are you going to do?
They said that Mitzi Shore had a special light, spotlight, and it only came on and... hit the person.
That was it.
Now there was, you're done. Now there was a light that lit up the stage and the regular spotlight, but there was the rejection light.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people who tell these stories say that many times in 10 seconds she'd hit the light. I mean, if you don't come out of the shoot funny, she would just automatically go, not funny.
That's it. Yeah. But you have to go out there. You have your first few sentences have to get their attention. Because if not, you lose, they kick you off the stage.
Louis C.K. is interviewed, and he's in his interview, he talks about getting that light just a matter of seconds after he hits the stage, and he just kept going. And then she hit it again, and she's motioning for him, get off. And he said,
he's
no.
Going.
Basically,
he's
he just
going.
Said, F you.
Yes.
It took me forever to get up here. F you, Mitzi Shore. I'm finishing my
Look
bit.
At that.
And yeah. And
Louis C.K.
It's a great series. Now, I know you came in here with... you want to start with the De Niro thing? Because I'm interested in this.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's put it this way. I mean, he had a very good 2019. He had a good little supporting role in Joker. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great, but he was good.
Was the Irishman 18 or 19?
That was 19. And I thought, he got a Best Actor nomination. I thought he was great. And then he does a film this year called The War with Grandpa.
Mm.
And he brings back his, you know, his longtime film buddies, Christopher Walken, and even Cheech Marin is in this movie, and Uma Thurman is in the movie. I don't know where she's been the past few years, but it's terrible. He plays, you know, an older guy who's going to live with his daughter's family, and essentially he takes the young boy's room, and the young son doesn't like that, which sets off a little rivalry with, you know, a bunch of jokes.
He takes his room with the boy in it?
Yeah, no, the boy has to go, like, to the attic. He has to go that unsavory room,
yeah.
A little uncomfortable, so he takes the big room, and that kind of sets off a war. And look, if you just wanted to go with that, that could have been fun, but it's so... All the comedy's cliched comedy. You've seen it before. It's just recycled. It's not funny. You see Walken and De Niro at some, like, rock and jump with playing dodgeball, and it's like, what are you guys doing here? You know, I mean, you guys are accomplished actors. I just want to know what made him do this. Does he need to fire his agent? Does everybody have to fire their agent? Because The War with Grandpa may be the worst movie I've seen this year.
Whoa.
And I've seen 90.
Oh.
It's just that bad. Like, I was wanting, the best part about it was the end. It's like, okay, we're here. Whew. Because, look, De Niro and Walken, those two guys can make almost anything good except for this one. And I just hope they get better projects because they're getting old. You know, you just made The Irishman. You're supposed to bounce off of that, like, maybe to, like, some good, like, maybe heist thriller.
You think, is De Niro broke? Does he need the money? Because it seems to me maybe. Like he does crap. That a real...
Yeah.
Accomplished
like
actor.
Samuel L. Jackson does a lot of this crap. You know, like, what are you doing, man? He's probably just making money. You know, he just like, well, we're gonna do Shaft again. Okay. Well, what is he gonna say no to that? No, like $5 million. No, he'll do the role. Some actors want to work. Walken's one of them. I think he has over 150 credits on his IMDb page. He just wants to work.
Yeah.
But there's some guys like Daniel Day-Lewis who every 3 or 4 years there he is again. They're very selective. He goes off to his little island. I think he has a whole little island like in Ireland, like Johnny Depp has in France, where he just goes off there. He does.
That's my Irish laugh.
they drop a Scorsese script onto the mainland. Hey, Daniel, look at this script. Move on.
How'd you like to sit for an hour with this guy, Scorsese?
Stories
he has to have.
He has. I mean, going back to Mean Streets. I mean, I just watched Goodfellas last night. And that movie released, back in 30 years ago? Back in 90? It's still so good.
Never gets old.
It's still so good. Ray Liotta, De Niro, Joe Pesci.
I told you before, when you get into direct, and it was directed by, usually I don't care, it doesn't mean anything, but if you say Scorsese's name, I'm probably going to be interested.
The Irishman. Yeah. And really, if you go from the Goodfellas to The Irishman, all of his movies have that same flavor. That they don't always hit right. They're not Oscar-worthy. He might miss on occasion. But you always know what he's going for.
Did he do Casino?
He did.
Also?
He do what?
Yeah.
Casino.
Sam Rothstein. Right. Yeah. The re-team of De Niro, I guess that was the third time with Raging Bull, with him and Pesci.
Yeah.
So Scorsese obviously loves the mob world.
He does it. I think he just, to him it's like that playground. He just wants to play on his whole life is the mobsters, their lives, the way they balance it. I'm not surprised that he's somehow like attached to the Sopranos because that's like his playground, Tony Soprano. He's got a family. He's got a mobster family. But that's what he always does best, and it's not bad.
So what's this thing called? Realm. Grandpa War?
It's called The War with Grandpa, and it is in theaters. It's not on demand for the one or two theaters. Actually, no, all AMC and at least Marcus Wehrenberg are still open. So in theaters right now, don't go see it.
Let's just get this over with ARDs. This is going to be sad.
Half
an ARD.
Wow. Half an ARD.
Here it comes.
All right.
That's it.
And really, that is just from Jane Seymour, who is in Wedding Crashers.
Ooh,
she still looks good. She still looks good. Yeah.
How about the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
How about the Adam Sandler movie, Hubie Halloween?
Now that...
Wait, there's another... I'm sorry. I thought you said Adam's Family.
It's on... Adam Sandler. It's on Netflix.
And I heard it's funny.
Yeah.
It's actually very funny, and I'm really happy for Adam Sandler, who I think gets a lot of, like flack about doing this and that. I think he's also one that likes to have fun with his friends. This is one particular occasion where all of his buddies are in it, Kevin James, Rob Schneider, they all show up.
All the grown-ups cast. Yeah.
And he plays this
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi is a werewolf. There you go. That's it. That's the movie. But he plays this outcast in a town. He's the guy that talks like this, man. It'll be Halloween. He tells you about
just like Adam Sandler.
He tells you about the history of the town, but they all make fun of him. They all pick on him, you know. But he's able to like dodge the tomatoes and the newspapers like John Wick. But essentially, a real murder comes to the town, and who else is going to save the day but Hubie?
And that's his name, Hubie.
Hubie, and of course Halloween, because it takes place in one of those small towns in Massachusetts. I forget the town, Salem maybe.
Okay.
It's about that they really celebrate Halloween.
Oh yeah,
passionately.
Where the witches they used to burn the witches.
This is called Hubie Halloween.
Hubie Halloween.
Is that his last name?
I don't think so, but I think they just attach Halloween to it because he's the guy that. Every Halloween, he's riding
Hubie
around.
Hubie DuBois.
Yeah.
I like Adam Sandler. I wouldn't expect me to like Adam Sandler, sure. But I like almost everything I've ever seen him do.
And really, in this movie, everybody except for him is very good. I mean, Adam Sandler's fine, but everybody else, Kevin James wearing this like 70s rocker hairpiece as a crazy sheriff in town, and then Tim Meadows and Maya Rudolph. Are on it as well. All of his buddies show up, and they're all very well used.
George Wallace?
Yeah, Steve Buscemi as the crazy neighbor that says, you know, if things go crazy at night in my house, like really crazy, don't call anybody.
Ben Stiller's in this, too?
He is, yeah. Oh.
No. Maya Rudolph is one of those people that, had she not changed her name, I don't think she would have made it. Her real name is Maya the Red-Nosed Reindeer. A lot of people don't know that.
Thanks, kids.
She got bullied.
Yeah, thank you, kids.
But I'll go ahead and give Hubie a good 3 out of 4. Three ARDs out of 4.
And where do you see this?
This is on Netflix, exclusively streaming on Netflix. Right. Probably the first thing you'll see on the main menu.
Hubie Halloween, 3 ARDs. Here they are.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
A lot better than that half ARD for that horrible De Niro thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of half ARDs, I mean, it won't get that, but it's going to be around that, are these Blumhouse Amazon original horror movies. There's 4 of them. 2 released last week, 2 this week. Frank, I have seen 3 of them, and they're all bad.
Ooh,
I mean,
thank you for saving me time.
You know, Blumhouse, you think, you know, they're going to scare you. It's going to be sophisticated. It's going to be a good story. But, you know, Peter Sarsgaard, who's a good actor, is in one of them. It's terrible. It's called A Lie. And essentially, it's about a mother and father who kind of help cover up their daughter's murder of her best friend and how that just, you know, becomes bad. It's terrible. It's 90 minutes, but it's a bad 90. Mm-hmm. And then there's a movie called Black Box about a single dad who has amnesia. He lost his wife and his memory in a car accident. Now, right there, you have my attention, right?
Yeah.
Going in, it had my attention. It's just a fumble.
No, it's just too bad because that's a great premise.
It's a great thing because his daughter has to help him remember stuff. They have to label the house. This is in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
That amnesia is a real deal, isn't it? People actually get that?
Yeah. I mean, you just lose everything.
Isn't that weird?
And it's crazy. For some people, it comes back slowly. Like, you just start remembering things about... You know, where you grew up.
Or they bump their head.
Or they bump their head. Yeah, that's the movie. Sorry.
You want to take up a quick call?
Yeah, but Black Box, all the Blumhouse, you might go, oh, Blumhouse are on Amazon. Avoid them. Watch the other Blumhouse.
Average ARDs for all of them.
Oh, one.
Now here it comes. 1 ARD.
All right, Dan.
All right. Let's go to Brian. Brian's been holding. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How's it going?
Hey, AM and the PM.
That's our Brian.
Good start.
I wanted to see. I love Scorsese, but have you ever heard of the movie? It's one of the worst I've ever seen that he did, called After Hours. It is absolutely horrendous.
He was trying to. Wasn't that really, really early on in his career?
Yeah,
though?
It has Cheech and Chong in it, and they're in it for like 10 minutes, and they end up robbing people. And
that sounds horrible already.
I just don't know how that's a Scorsese movie. It's almost worth watching because you'll be in disbelief that it's a Scorsese film.
And really, you have to give Quentin Tarantino credit. He doesn't really have that one bomb on his resume. He really doesn't. Even the films that I don't like, Jackie Brown, one of them, they're still a good movie, but guys like most directors, they have that one early bomb that's bad.
I'm not a
Tarantino
person. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to ask, what is your guy's favorite horror movie, but I didn't want to interrupt.
No, this is easy. It's not one. It's Saw. It's the whole Saw series.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch, but it's the most realistic horror that I've ever seen. Saw.
For me, I mean, if it wasn't that, it was Nightmare on Elm Street. And I mean the early one with Robert Englund.
But see, to me, that's just fantasy dream crap.
He gets you in your dreams, though.
Brian, have you ever seen The Strangers?
Yeah, that was really good.
You bet. And here's what's good about it. You get up and lock your doors while you're watching it because it's so real. It can happen. Crap can happen.
But, Frank, I will agree. I watched the first Saw at Esquire and the whole theater. I'm not going to say what happens in the end. Let's just say you know what happens in the end, the twist. Everybody in the theater is like, whoa. Everybody had a Keanu. Whoa. Credits. Whoa.
But it's not just the end. From the beginning, it's really the good. Most...
And isn't
gruesome?
It Cary Elwes is kind of like his comeback movie. He plays one of the captives.
Yeah, I don't even know the names of the people. I just watch it and think, oh my goodness, this could happen to somebody.
And it's Tobin Bell plays Jigsaw, and what a voice.
Oh.
I mean, everybody talks about Sam Elliott,
Freeman. Hang on. I want to play a game.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
No,
I want to play a game.
What happened to your voice?
It turned into the Saw guy.
He's basically like a sinister trailer voice guy.
They pick up the little recorder and hit the button. It starts.
He'd be like, Tim Woodburn.
So that's my answer. You guys, best horror movie. To me, it has to be realistic, not some alien thing. So mine, it would be Saw, the whole series, or The Strangers. What else, Limey?
It was Cabin in the Woods, a group of kids go out there, and they get like this flesh-eating disease or something.
Yeah, see,
if I can remember that. Yeah, that was a really good one.
But I don't watch that and go, oh, I hope I don't get that flesh-eating disease. But I do watch something like Strangers and go, man, I'm never getting a cabin somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, or even like the first 28 Days Later, that was a good film.
That was a good one.
With, gosh, what's his name? Peaky Blinders. What's his name?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't.
Cillian Murphy?
That's the one.
All right.
Oh, the original Thing as well. When I was a kid, that scared the crap out of me, especially the scene when they're testing the blood with the match and everything. And then I don't remember the guy sitting next to Kurt Russell. Turns out he's the alien, and you see his just like head and neck explode. That terrified me as a child.
For our listeners who are American, any everything or anything is everything and anything in English. Tim, horror.
So two that sort of come to mind, only because I like you, Frank, it needs to sort of be realistic to really get to me. One is The Conjuring, which was about these ghost chasers in the early 70s. And they made The Conjuring 2, and then they made Annabelle. It was a series, kind of like Saw. They made three of them. But it was about these realistic ghost hunters that go into people's homes with this antiquated movie equipment and wait for creepy stuff to happen, and stuff happens that creeps you out.
Is this supposed to be true?
It is supposed to be true. And it's based on true ghost hunters.
Is
of
this
the,
when that
of
girl,
the paranormal?
Yeah,
when
that girl was all very on successful these ceiling. Movies.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a little Exorcist in there. There's a little ghost hunting in there. There's a little things happen that you don't understand why they happen. Just subtle things that just creep you out. And another one that I don't know why I watched this and continue to watch it was a movie called Vacancy. That was about these people that check into a hotel and they put the VHS in the TV, and what they're watching is a murder that's occurred in their hotel room.
Now I love this.
And then they couldn't get out, and then it's like the owners of the hotel. It's like can we get out of here?
Escape room.
I'm in.
It was sort of like The Hitcher, which I don't know if that's a scary movie, but that one really,
it is to me.
That creeped me out with Rutger Hauer and Vacancy and The Hitcher all sort of in the same category.
I always kind of thought The Vanishing with was it Jeff Bridges and Kiefer Sutherland? He drugs his girlfriend. That was kind of a weird. It wasn't really a horror film, but it's just kind of a scary thriller where he.
Jeff Daniels. Okay,
no, you're right. There's a difference between horror and just
Sandra
frightening.
Bullock, I think, plays the
Sandra
girlfriend.
Bullock, that was her first movie.
There are frightening, realistic movies, then there are horror movies.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you a couple. Brian, if you've never seen Breakdown with
Kurt Russell.
JT Walsh. He's a truck driver. There's an example of something you watch it and go, my God, I'll bet there's a driver like that out on the road.
And there was the big guy who kind of looked like he could be leading a biker gang called MC Gainey.
Okay.
He kind of was the very tall guy, always the bad guy. Yeah, that movie was great. I mean, it really was. It was 95 minutes of just pure adrenaline.
And Jake Gyllenhaal was in one called Prisoners, where his kid got kidnapped.
When they showed his cellar. They showed his cellar, and J.T. Walsh had a bunch of people's driver's licenses from the past.
Oh, I thought I just thought of another one. Hang on. Stir of Echoes, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon. Woo! Great movie.
That's a good one.
Like, let me tell you something. When the character is hypnotized.
Ryan, are you wrestling your phone? Are you in a wrestling match with your phone?
No, I'm out of the park and it's just windy today. Walking the dog.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I'll just hang up and listen, guys.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, but Stir of Echoes, that movie, when he gets. When I first watched that. Where he gets hypnotized, I thought I had to make sure I wasn't being hypnotized. It's that good of a scene. Because all of a sudden, the movie just jumps from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
When he gets swallowed up in that memory, and then all of a sudden, he can't leave unless he solves the crime.
It's true. What is the difference, I wonder, between horror and just flat-out frightening? There is a difference.
I
don't think of a Breakdown as a horror
movie.
No,
that's a thriller.
Hardcore thriller.
Maybe even The Vanishing is kind of a thriller as well.
You got a couple other calls you want to take?
Let's do it.
Let's start
get him
with,
in.
Start with Carol. Carol, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
I'm fine, and I am Amos. Yes.
Well,
yes. You are officially awesome.
What do you got?
Well, you had mentioned The Hitcher, but the other one was Dennis Weaver with the, and I can't remember the name, with the cab, the 18-wheeler chasing him.
It was Steven Spielberg's first movie. And it's not, hang on, it's,
I don't think that's the name.
No, but I know this movie.
But that's his next movie.
Was it Duel?
Yes.
Yeah, Duel.
Yes,
yeah.
Duel.
Okay, right.
Duel,
yes.
Which I always confused with Christine. Christine was a car that had its own mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Duel.
Christine was
Stephen King.
You're right. Movie. Carol Duel is a really good.
I have a cool question. How many? It's got whoever's closest number. How many movies do you think Steven Spielberg has directed? Or things? Let's just go projects.
Wow.
What's the number?
Actually directed. I'll say.
So on IMDb as of right now.
Go ahead, Limey.
I'll say 30.
Dan. Dan
he's talking
Strauss.
To Bill.
Calling Dan Strauss.
He doesn't listen
Dan,
to the
what
show.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think it's great.
No, that's not. We asked the question, how many? What number? You can't talk to Bill
six.
In the middle of the show. Okay, six. He doesn't even know what he's answering.
Holy moly.
I would say.
I'd say
60.
75.
68.
I'm going to go closer to Carol. I'll say 70. She says 75. What is it?
I think Tim Woodburn wins. It's 60.
Well, I went over.
Yeah. I mean, I think you
so
went at least
Dan
over.
Would win.
Oh, Dan said
he said six.
Six.
He said six.
I said 30. I win.
Oh, you win.
Carol,
oh,
you
win.
Carol. No, well, hold on here. How many is it? What's the number?
It was 60.
Okay, Carol and I went over.
Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. But I have a new movie, though.
What is it?
You got?
Last night, The Invisible Man. Have you seen it?
It is very...
It just released this year.
Yeah, that was one of the last big releases.
How many Invisible Mans have we had? I mean, there have been... Other movies.
There's at least two more.
I didn't like it.
But it stars Elizabeth Moss, who played Peggy Olson.
Yeah, oh yeah. Not really hot, but something about her.
Oh, they make her look really hot in this movie. Okay.
You missed Dan's rim shot.
In this one?
No, Dan doesn't get to play because he doesn't listen. He's talking to Bill. He's not even participating, so he doesn't get anything.
But when the Invisible Man uses invisible ink, how does he know when he runs out?
That's a good question.
I was actually that was a takeoff of an old Stephen Wright joke.
Carol, have you seen this Invisible Man?
I watched it last night. It's very good. It's just
very
on regular
good.
TV on
it's,
one of the cable channels.
It's
not
fantastic.
On Netflix, not Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It was really.
To get me to watch this, I got to hear something more because to me, how can it be different than all the other Invisible Man
movies?
Right, I can. Oh no, wait.
No. Limey is like.
Very end.
Limey can sum up anything in this world.
I got you, Frank. So this woman is in a abusive relationship. Her husband dies, wink, wink, right? She carries on living a normal life. All of a sudden, weird stuff starts happening in her life. We find out her husband is still alive.
Is this the same one Carol's talking about?
Yep, and for somehow he has a suit that makes him invisible, so he's just going around just beating the crap out of her inside this house, and he's invisible, and she's trying to fight back.
Wait, he has a suit that makes him invisible? But what does he put over his head?
It's part of the suit.
And there's one scene in the movie where she throws paint in the direction of the person, and when you can see the shape. Everybody in the theater, this is one of the last movies I saw in the theater before things closed down. It was the Ben Affleck film, The Way Back, and this movie. Those are the last two great films I saw. And when that
she also used a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, she tosses a little bucket of paint, and you see his form for the first time, and the whole audience jumped. I mean, they
all right, I might have to give this a shot.
It has Trevor. It has kill of the year as far as, and that's all I'm going to say. Let's just say out of nowhere, two sisters talking in a restaurant, and all of a sudden, bam, somebody dies in an instant, and you don't see it because he's invisible. But the way they shoot it, though, I mean, it's just kind of a freaky movie that when I went into it, I thought, can this just not be bad? And then it was the other side. It was very, very well done.
Okay.
What they were going for, if you're going to remake a movie, you have to put your spin on it. You have to be like the painter that signs his name at the bottom of the painting. If not, it's just it's kind of a replica.
Yeah.
And in this movie, the director really puts the stamp on it.
All right, Carol. We're in.
And don't miss the end. Don't miss the end.
I'm not after three times you said don't miss the end. I'm not about to miss the end.
So. Nobody's missing the end now.
Okay.
All right, Carol, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And there's movies like that where I watch these Blumhouse original, now they're a television production, but still, it's Amazon. Movies come to Amazon, so I consider it cinematic. And I watch these, and they just pale in comparison to The Invisible Man.
And you want to talk to Corey?
Let's talk to Corey. We got time, right?
Corey, 590 The Fan, how are you?
Hey, everybody. AM and the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hey, back to Hubie Halloween. Just curious how you saw the character from the Insane Asylum, Dan. Obviously Rob Schneider, but also obviously looks like David Spade, and David Spade wasn't in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the people that didn't show up as far as a Sandler kind of, buddy.
Friend reunion.
Yeah, friend. It wasn't. There was no Spade. And I think the hair they put on Rob Schneider is like, yeah, that's got to be a Spade set. That's got to be a Spade tribute. But for what reason, I guess.
Maybe they had a falling out.
Maybe they had a falling out. Because right now, Spade kind of, he's had a couple shows that didn't just tank. He hasn't had a couple Christian Slaters.
He had that one movie, The Wrong Missy. Might be working on his own stuff.
And that was a big success, and that came out of nowhere because of the actress who was in it, who's great. But also, he has a talk show, so maybe he kind of thought he was above, and then when Sandler kind of said, hey, come on back to play, he didn't want to play.
You ever think these guys are kind of jealous because Sandler's still knocking out of the park?
I mean, I can give you a great example. John Cusack and Jeremy Piven. Because remember, Piven was the best friend in at least a couple, Cusack films, and he was always the supporting guy. But when he got Entourage, and he won Emmys for playing Ari Gold, all of a sudden, and Cusack kind of fell from grace after, Gross Point Blank. I mean, he was a decent movie star for about, 5 to 10 years. But when Piven rose and Cusack fell, they stopped becoming friends. I mean, it just drove a wedge between them.
Yeah.
Popularity, who has it, who doesn't.
Corey, anything else?
Nope, just curious on your take on that. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I always find that fascinating. When people act like when Brad Pitt talked about getting sober, he talked about, Bradley Cooper helped me. I mean, it's kind of cool to see sometimes when they're friends, when they help each other out.
I'd like to see Cooper and Bradley Cooper and Brad Pitt go into a bar and time how long it would take them to get girls. You imagine? You imagine being one of those two guys?
Can you imagine if they could just project Rocket Raccoon's face onto Cooper and he goes, hey, can I have us a beer?
No, I guarantee you they would walk in, they'd take two steps, and they'd be swamped.
That'd be it.
Yeah, they'd be in a hotel room.
Yeah.
And seriously, you could put beards on them. And I mean the Revenant beards.
And that gets annoying because you want to just be able to enjoy yourself. Yeah, but it gets annoying when they just come at you and left and right.
Well, you would know.
Well, it's like gnats. It's like gnats at a campsite. You just keep swatting them away.
The only guy in the room who would know, Tim Wood.
Your arms get tired.
No, it's tough. That's why, according to Allied reps, they told me that when Tom Cruise wants to come into town, he just takes over Ronnie's and screens the film.
Tom Cruise has been here and bought out Ronnie's?
And you won't see him.
You're a liar.
Oh, no. This is supposedly true that he has come in just to kind of, and just from here and there, they come in and they test films very early on.
But why Ronnie's in St. Louis?
We don't know.
He could do any theater. No, Cruise. He said Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Because, I mean, it's just kind of, and they say, it's just, there's Tom Cruise walking across the parking lot.
Well, because you would not expect to see him here. L.A., you would. New York, you would.
And it was cool. One of the special features on the DVD of one of his favorite films, at least for me, one of his personal favorites, is Collateral. And Michael Mann had him be a UPS driver in character in that, you know, the long hair and the beard says, I want you to be able just to kind of sink or just kind of disappear. And he delivers this package. This is real footage, and the guy doesn't notice it's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I think if you one of a fun thing to do if you're really famous would be just that.
Yeah.
Just put on a uniform and show up somewhere, or go to a movie theater, and nobody knows the star of the movie is sitting right there in the theater.
The Rock does that a lot. He'll slip in the back of a theater. And when the lights come up, imagine if The Rock goes, and The Rock says, and the whole theater just loses it, and there's The Rock right behind you.
Wow.
You know.
Anything else you want to throw at us?
I don't know.
Have 2 minutes.
2 minutes, my gosh.
What else is out there we need to check out?
Oh.
Animal Kingdom, I have to tell you, we finished the second season. Yeah.
It's good.
Now, I don't know why we stopped the first time, because watching it now, I can't imagine
I've started and stopped, and I love the cast. The whole cast is great, but sometimes you just stop watching stuff,
well,
and then it gets kicked down.
Because if you
list.
Have two or three slow episodes in a row, you walk away.
But I want to say I finally finished The Challenger, The Final Flight, the documentary of the very tragic 86 just explosion. That took 7 lives. They dove into it in 4 episodes, and I swear every episode gets more riveting.
How can that be 4 episodes worthy? It's an explosion.
Because they really dive into the very early designs where they recruited this teacher. The school teacher is, in my opinion,
Christy McCullough.
Yeah, she had that. Her being a part of it, that means that they had to launch. And they investigate after the explosion what caused it, and just the fact that they launched in that cold weather, and it becomes kind of a tragedy all over again, because you see how much NASA covered up, and they interview reporters and the people that were there and watched the explosion in the sky. But you know, you kind of turn it on, you think maybe it'll hold me for an episode, but through 4 hours, Frank, it was riveting.
Do they ever get to whether or not they felt anything? Because I've heard
that. Yes, they do get into that.
There's no way they would have thought anything at that
time. Well, I've read some articles that said otherwise.
Really?
When they basically explosion happened, it sent them into a 200 miles an hour spiral towards Earth, towards the ocean. And some people think that they were alive. I don't know how you could not just pass out going that fast.
But
true,
race car drivers go 200 miles.
You're right.
That's not in itself fatal.
But people said that they were still conscious before they hit the water.
Mm, that would not be a good.
But yeah, watch the documentary Challenger: The Final Flight. Until next week, I'm Dan Buffa, and I've had enough.
A lot of good ideas there for you. You get bored. No excuse for saying there's nothing to watch on television. There's a lot of stuff to watch on television. Dan Buffa brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. All right, listen very carefully to this, because this is a tremendous opportunity for you to get introduced to Complete Auto Body. First of all, for those of you who are really freaked out about the COVID thing, yes, they have completely touchless service. They offer pickup, delivery of your vehicle. Nobody touches anybody. Nobody has any risk of, you know, coming in contact with the COVID virus. They also are offering, listen to this deal, $50 off any repair, big or small, for any new customer. You tell them your AM and the PM. Even if the repair on your car, the service in your car is $49, well, that means it's free, because you get $50 off a $49 service job. Free for first-time customers, AM and the PM especially. Doesn't matter if it's collision repair or regular service. I don't know what kind of collision repair you can have done for $50, but just in case. Now, lastly, if Complete Auto Body works on your car, and again, whether this is collision work or just service, they have loaner cars for $9.99 a day. I'd rather call it $10 because it's only a penny short. Let's call it $10. $10 a day. While your car is at Complete Auto Body, call them for details. Or, and remember this, 3 locations, Hazelwood, Delwood, St. Peter's, collision repair or just basic service, tires, oil change, brakes, that kind of thing. Check them out. Oh, and please tell them your AM and the PM. All the information is at their website, CompleteAB.com. BillClemmons.com. I believe, yes, I looked across. Bill Clemmons is in the building, and it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590TheFan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett is facing tough questions during her ongoing Senate confirmation hearings. Terry Moore reports from Washington.
I'll follow the law.
Barrett was pressed about a number of tough issues, including abortion, and she would not commit to how she might vote.
I can't pre-commit or say, yes, I'm going in with some agenda because I'm not. I don't have any agenda.